We saw media day 5 days ago for the Utah Jazz, and really what I got out of it is the pressure is on this year. You talk about a team that's missed the playoffs the last 4 years. The Jazz made three big offseason acquisitions. They now have more depth and more experience, and I think they're able to win some of these close games. And I don't think that can be understated. The Jazz must finish out games better off than they did last year. In fact, if they would have had a closer last year, somebody that can hit some of those game winners, Jazz would have made the playoffs last season. I don't think there's any question about that, despite the injuries, despite missing Gobert for 20 games and missing Favors off and on. The Jazz were 10-17 last year in games decided by 5 points or less. I mean, how does that change this year? And I think it can change this year, and I got two reasons why. One is getting better shots down the stretch. George Hill and Joe Johnson should help in that category. Jordan and Taylorsville played one of the most amazing high school football games you'll ever see, as the two teams combined for 174 total points. Jordan beat Taylorsville 91-83 in a football game. And think about high school games, 48 minutes. It wasn't like this game went into five overtimes. This game ended in regulation with the two teams combining for 174 points. That's the most points in a high school football game in the state of Utah since 1926. Carbon beat South Emory in a game that had a combined 181 total points. I'm pretty sure a lot of you were at that game 90 years ago. So this is the highest scoring high school football game in 90 years. Crew Wakely accounted for 11 touchdowns for Jordan in their offense as he's their quarterback. Dane Lealuala had 11 touchdowns for Taylorsville. I mean, that's unbelievable. If you're Taylorsville's offensive coordinator and you're thinking to yourself, all right, we scored 83 points and we lost the football game. You know, how tough would that be? You know, if you're a defensive coordinator in that game, you know, you're walking on eggshells the next week. I mean, you don't want to visit the head coach during the week if you're Jordan or Taylorsville's defensive coordinator. You would hope that, you know, Jordan or Taylorsville's head coach is the defensive coordinator, because if you're that defensive coordinator and you gave up 83 points or you gave up 91 points in that football game, I mean, it's going to be a long week for those defensive coordinators. I don't think they slept an ounce last night. You know, I didn't get much sleep last night either. I don't think those guys got any sleep. Either the Jordan or Taylorsville defensive coordinators, they're walking on fumes right now. Especially Taylorsville's. You know, especially Taylorsville's defensive coordinators. He's walking around thinking, all right, our offense spotted us 83 points, and we still couldn't win the football game, you know, because we gave up 91 points to Jordan. And if you're Jordan's defensive coordinator, you're thinking, all right, we gave up 83 points and we still won the football game, which at the end of the day is really the only thing that matters. And so, yeah, that's one of those football games. I don't think you'll see that one again. 91-83 in a high school football game that didn't require any overtimes. Now, that's spectacular. Jordan and Taylorsville putting on a show last night. A lot of great college football going on in this first Saturday of the college football season. Right now, Michigan's about to take on Hawaii. I think Michigan's a 41-point favorite against Hawaii. That one looks to be a blowout. But the big one at 10 o'clock, Oklahoma and Houston, that's going to be a big game. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Houston and Tom Herman's able to do. What can they do for an encore from that 13-1 season last year? And obviously, Houston's a big favorite to get into the Big 12, even though, you know, on the field accolades and on the field accomplishments probably are only half the battle into getting to the Big 12. Houston has really done a lot in terms of what they've done outside in terms of money wise, and they got a new stadium just a couple years ago that they're playing in, a new on-campus 40,000 seat stadium, and it looks like they're willing to pay Tom Herman, who I think is the next generation's Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. I think Tom Herman is the best young coach in college football, and right now Houston's got him locked up. And you know, if they're able to pay Tom Herman long term to keep him long term, and you know, I think if Houston get into the Big 12, obviously they can turn into a factor in that conference rather soon. So Oklahoma and Houston play at Reliant Stadium, or whatever they're calling NRG Stadium, wherever the Houston Texans play, which I guess is technically a neutral site, even though the game is played in Houston. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Oklahoma, surprisingly enough, is a 12.5-point favorite. A lot of people on the Sooner bandwagon after reaching the college football playoffs last year.
Tyson Show.
Troy Williams is going to be the starting quarterback, even though I think we all kind of thought and expected Troy Williams to be the starting quarterback coming out of fall camp. And that's basically how it turned out. Troy Williams will be the starting quarterback. Tyler Huntley ended up winning the second string job as a true freshman. And I got to say, he's got a bright future in this program. I don't know that he's necessarily ready this year. that may be a little bit of a concern if he's got to start multiple games this year. Is I don't know if physically he's ready to take all the hits that you're going to take in the Pac-12, because after all, it's not like FCS play. I mean, in the Pac-12, they hit you and they hit you hard. And even though you got a good offensive line, I don't know that Tyler Huntley would take a whole lot of hits if you were to play multiple games, but you're still talking about a true freshman going in at quarterback, and there's always question marks regardless of how good that true freshman is. I mean, he could be Josh Rosen for all we know, but yet Josh Rosen had his bad football games. We saw that game against BYU early on in the season when Josh Rosen in his second or third start as a quarterback looked like a true freshman that day. And there were other games where Josh Rosen looked like a true freshman. That's to be expected, because playing in the Pac-12 is a lot different than playing high school football. At 2 years, $22 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but in this day and age, and especially with what the contracts you've been seeing the last couple days, 2 years, $22 million kind of is a ballpark, and maybe even a little bit less than what you would expect from somebody that's a seven-time All-Star the way Joe Johnson is. And so you get a guy like him into the fold with the Utah Jazz and have him coming off the bench. I mean, it's not like you're signing Joe Johnson and expecting him to show up and be your best player. That's not what you're going to get from Joe Johnson, and that's not what the Jazz are paying him to be. But having Joe Johnson come off your bench, adding depth to that lineup, to go along with George Hill, who's going to be making $8 million next season, and he's most likely going to be your starting point guard and a very solid player. You get two veterans there that have a lot of playoff experience. George Hill and Joe Johnson combined 176 playoff games. And I think that's what the Jazz need more than anything else, is they simply need guys who know how to win. And George Hill knows how to win, and Joe Johnson certainly knows how to win. You know, they've been on winning teams. They know what being in the playoffs are all about. And they kind of know what it takes to win in the playoffs. And for a team like the Utah Jazz that have missed the playoffs each of the last four seasons, those type of players are something that you must have. You must have players that simply know how to win. And I think that that's a skill in the NBA. And the Jazz didn't do that very well. They haven't done that well the last couple of years. And, you know, you talk about what makes the difference in those type of games. It's players like Joe Johnson. It's players that simply know when to raise their level of play. And, you know, even at 35 years old, Joe Johnson might still have it in him. I mean, you look at the postseason with the Miami Heat. Joe Johnson still scored in double figures in 11 of 14 playoff games as the Heat small forward. So you're talking about a guy that may not give you 20 points per game every night, but may still have one or two good seasons left in him. And if nothing else, he's a good veteran that can teach the young guys a little bit of what it takes to win ball games in the NBA. And that's something the Jazz desperately need.
The Tyson Show.
That's one of the things that kind of bothered me, is everybody's calling Dabble Sweeney, like he's got three E's in his last name.
Sweeney.
It's a Sweeney, not Sweeney.
Not Sweeney. Come on, people.
It's not Sweeney. You know, everybody talks about their New Year's resolutions and what they're trying to plan on, which I always thought's ridiculous, because by January 15th, everybody forgets what their New Year's resolution was, and so nobody's really doing it. But by February, it's not like anybody's actually sticking to their New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolution's not have any boring, tired, cliched bubblegum radio segments.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The ones where on New Year's Eve, on New Year's Eve, everybody does the, what is the New Year's resolutions for your favorite sports teams?
Oh, sure.
We'll talk about it next. You know, the one on the day before Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for in the sports world? Or every Valentine's Day, who is your sports love? Or every August when everybody goes through football schedules and goes, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss.
Sure, sure.
This team's going to end up 7-5 on the year. Like the games actually go as they planned on paper. Like injuries never happen. Like if everybody on every roster stays healthy, this is what your record's going to look like.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how football works.
Yep.
Football's exactly played on paper like that. Because everybody did that last year thinking Taysom Hill was going to start like six games or seven games or play at least half a season. By the second half of that first game, you could just rip up whatever record you thought BYU was going to have, just rip it to shreds.
Exactly.
That's a boring segment. There's nothing creative about that, because that's been done 10,000 times. Let's go through the schedule. This one's a win. This one's a win. Sure. Oh, this is a good team. They're going to be pretty good. Watch out for Clemson. That one's going to be a loss. I'm going to try to avoid that this year. I'm going to try to make sure I don't do that this year as much as possible.
That's admirable.
Hey, it's December 23rd. What about your grievances? It's Festivus, baby.
There you go.
Let's talk about our grievances.
Festivus segment.
On Halloween, it's like, is your team a trick or a treat? We'll talk about it next.
You do hear that one. That
I'm going to make sure to avoid those as much as humanly possible here in 2016 on The Tyson Show.